Jonah, as he was in the belly of the fish, learned a lesson. And it's summarized in his statement at the end of his prayer, salvation is of the Lord. Here we see, in a sense, a picture or an example of regeneration. Notice in our text, we've been looking at the work of the Father in calling, in election, the work of the Son in redeeming us, and now we're looking at the work of the Holy Spirit in applying the work of Christ to individuals. Notice it starts with the corruption of man or our need. And Romans, we read earlier, Romans chapter 3, the statement of God, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that does good, no, not one. And so how is it that anyone can believe? How is it that anyone is declared righteous before God? As Paul will say that we are declared righteous before God. How is it? It is through the application of what Jesus did on the cross and what he did in his life by the Holy Spirit. And that application includes regeneration. I love the way that the Article 12 puts it. Regeneration, which scriptures so highly extol and refer to it in many ways. Number one, it is renewal. It is the turning around of what happened in the garden at the fall of man. It is the renewal of creation. It is a new creation. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Stop and think about what he's saying. For the person who was regenerated, they are new. All things are passed away. They are new. They are a new creation. Later on it says, as a supernatural work, as the actual creation and the resurrection from the dead. Again, Paul writes in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, concerning regeneration as resurrection, when he writes, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I was dead. I was crucified and buried. I rose in Christ. I am now alive in Christ. As a matter of fact, it's more that Christ is living in me. Resurrection has that life. Again, in the Revelation chapter 20, in verse 6, as he comes to the judgment, the great white throne judgment there, and says, blessed and holy is he or she who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Blessed is he who has part in the first resurrection. What's the first resurrection? Being born again. Being regenerated. Being brought to life from the dead. Paul says we are dead in trespasses and sins, but what does God do? He makes us alive. He takes a dead person and brings them to life. It is a new creation. Again, making alive. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. All of these are different ways of trying to attempt to describe what God does, right? What does our text say? Which God works in us without our aid. Regeneration is not something you do. And there are Christians that teach that it's, I am the one that ultimately regenerates myself when I believe the gospel. Okay. So you are the one who resurrects yourself from the dead? Well, if you were dead, how do you do that? You are the one that makes yourself a new creature in Christ? How do you do that? What power do you have? The statement is that regeneration is a supernatural work, most powerful and at the same time most delightful. And I love that statement. It is a delight. It is a joy to stop and to think and meditate on what God has done in taking a sinner who is dead and separated from God, and now I have boldness that I can enter into the throne of grace to find mercy and to obtain help. Yes, I do enter in, but it's because God has worked. It is delightful. It is astonishing. How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Who cares about me enough and applies that to me? It is mysterious. It is ineffable. But notice what he says. It's not inferior in efficacy or power applied, not inferior to creation. So we go to Genesis chapter 1 and we read about what God has done and the amazing aspects of creation. And the authors here are saying regeneration is just as wonderful, just as powerful. The same power that said, let there be light, and light was, is the same power that says, rise from the dead, as Jesus did to Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. Did Lazarus say, oh, you know what? I'm going to choose to bring myself back to life and then go. No, he was dead. And God, Jesus spoke and said, Lazarus, come forth. And with that speech came life. And Lazarus walked or hopped, because he was bound up, I don't know which, came out from the grave. And he didn't stink, even though he did a moment earlier. Isn't that amazing? It's not inferior to creation or the resurrection from the dead. Furthermore, so that all in whose heart God works in this marvelous manner are certainly, infallibly, and effectually regenerated, and do actually believe. Notice that. We are brought to life, and then that, what is the evidence of the life, the work of the Spirit of God and life in us? We believe the gospel. We hear the gospel is preached, and we believe it. We hold to it. It is true. We say amen. It's something we rejoice in. And yet, we understand that we are called, man is called to repent and believe the gospel. So we understand that it is God who works, but man must respond. So we do call all men everywhere to repent. We don't fully understand what God has done, but we rejoice, we worship in humility. For he who is greater than our minds, greater than ourselves, has looked upon us and in love said, you are mine, and I will change you from glory to glory into the image of my Son, Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. Amen. Amen.